I'm going to let Brian, Reverend Brian, come in a moment and he'll introduce. I did make myself a list about the books and the orphanage and all that, but you can tell it much better than I can. It'll sound much better coming from you. And then last night I put some things together. So on the notice board as you leave, I went to their website, which is liberationministries.co.uk, liberationministries.co.uk, and I took off a lot of pictures and put them on the back there as you leave. So do have a look at that, because Brian will tell us some things about the ministry, but those things will help to remind you, and I'll let him take over that area. So I'll untangle myself from here, but I do want you to know we're delighted that you're here this morning. Not now, please. I'm delighted that you're here this morning, and the visitors, we welcome you. You've traveled the distance. We're really glad you've made the effort. And after the service, we'll have a cup of tea and coffee and biscuit. Might even be some cake for you. So welcome. But the most important thing is, this morning we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The one that the scripture says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I ask you, what's your need this morning? What's your need? Years ago we used to sing, I'm not about to sing again, but Christ is the answer to my every need. That is true. And I know that as our brother preaches and teaches this morning, and perhaps his sister sings later on, I'm just leaving the service in their hands, and about midnight we'll take the offering. No. And may the Lord richly bless you. You're so welcome at Wellspring. First visit, but it won't be your last. Give you that first of all.
Right.
And that's a very important part as well.
You untangle yourself. Yeah.
Excuse me. Thank you, my brother. Bless you.
Well, it's an honour and privilege to be here with you guys this morning here in Welling. I've been preaching around the United Kingdom for, I guess, over 55 years, and this is the very first time I've ever been to Welling, so I guess it depends a little bit how I get on this morning, whether it's the last time. But it is a joy to be with you. I enjoyed Richard on the cello this morning. That was beautiful, Richard. And we're going to keep you in our minds, because I might use you again one of these days. That's great. Beautiful musician. Just to say a little bit about ourselves. We'll put it up on the pictures there so you can see. We've been pastoring churches for many years, and 15 years ago we launched Liberation Ministries. And just recent things that we've been up to, we started 15 years ago. We used to go regularly to Latin America. That's why we have an orphanage that we support in Paraguay. And over the years, we've over £500,000 we've been able to send to support the work in Paraguay, which is a miracle in itself. So this is some of the things we've just been up to in the recent weeks. A particular prayer meeting in central London that Vanessa was involved in leading the worship for on the 20th. What next we got on there? Feast of Tabernacles, that was just this last month. Another great worship time up in Corby, that was. And then more recently, we just come back from Anglesey. That's a long way up the road. It's 250 miles, the Isle of Anglesey in North Wales. And we're working with Marilyn Harry, who is an evangelist, Welsh evangelist, and she has a vision to see the gospel preached in every village and community in Wales in the next 10 years. And God's, there's a stirring in Wales at the moment, that something's happening in Wales. To be honest, in those 55 years of ministry, you can almost count on one hand how many times I've ministered in Wales. But this last year or so, we just keep going back, and every time we cross the border, we get a stirring in our spirit, and God is doing something. And there's a prophetic word quite recently that Scotland would provoke England or the British Isles politically. Well, that's already happened, hasn't it? And that Wales would provoke United Kingdom spiritually. So let's look out. So we want to row with the tide. If we see God doing something, we want to work with that. So we hopefully in this next year, we want to do a lot of things, working with Marilyn, Harry, and the Love Wales team in all those county in Wales. We want to have some breakthrough worship meetings there. That's enough of that. What else have we got up there? Oh, couple of weeks time, we shall be back in France. We go quite regularly to Marseille and to the Geneva area, which is where Tonon-les-Bains is in France, and Amby near Geneva, but not in Switzerland, in France. We'll be there. These are churches we've been to in the last few weeks. You can see yourselves there, Welling in Kent. And we're racing on here. Book we've published this year called Don't Quit Now.
Amen.
It's out of 55, well, more years experience. Lessons I've learnt, stumbled on in life, how to just keep going, you know? And one of the things is a good sense of humour. I've got a chapter on having a good sense of humour. I've got another chapter on having a good laugh with God. That's a different thought entirely. It's an easy book to read. Lots of jokes in it as well. And you're across my palm with £8 and it's all yours. All right? There's a bookstall outside. Vanessa has just produced, quite recently, her latest CD called Breakout. It's just an instrumental. But people are being really blessed by this. Even this week we've had a phone call from a lady who is a cornet player. She's on Vanessa's other CD, which is called The Dance, where Vanessa's singing. And if you enjoy Vanessa singing this morning, you can enjoy it again. There's a whole hour of in her CD called The Dance. There it is. And you can, some beautiful songs on there. Some she has written, others that have been written by other people. But it's a really professionally produced CD. It's a very good production. And there's the other one, which is I just mentioned. I said one of the ladies rang us this week and said she was driving, had it on in the car, and the blessing of God so came down in the car, she had to pull it at the side of the road, stop the car, and just enjoy the blessing of God. Somebody else sent us an email this week and said when they were listening to the second track, God just downloaded so much stuff on them. Vanessa took different passages of scripture, and from those she just, extemporally played. So there are passages of scripture, but it's no singing on it, it's just an instrumental. That's not that one, that's the other one. And there's special deals as well, we'll talk about that afterwards. All right, where are we going? Who's pinched my Bible? I had it a minute ago. I like to embarrass people in church, see? So, hold up your Bible if you brought your iPad or iPhone and whatever you have your Bible on these days, switch it on. And just turn to the person next to you who hasn't got a Bible and go, wow, you've memorized the whole Bible. Then we turn to 2 Peter, shut the Bible on myself now, the second book of Peter, where do we go from? We'll start from verse 2 of second book of Peter, the very first chapter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us, he's given to you and to me, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last verse of that little letter of Peter's reads like this: and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say, because I nearly forgot to say it, thank you, Pastor Jim and Ruth, for allowing us to be with you today. We're old friends. I think I've known Pastor Jim for at least 40 years. Ruth, not quite as long as that. So it's a real delight to be here with you guys this morning and have fellowship with our dear friends. There's that old nursery rhyme that goes, "Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow?" How does your garden grow this morning? We've been through this summer period, we've often come across friends we haven't seen for years sometimes. And Anna, who's with us, she's 12 years old, and they've seen her grow over the years, and maybe they haven't seen her for 2 or 3 years, and they see Anna, and they say, "My, how she has grown! What a beautiful young lady she's grown into!" And sometimes I think to myself, they never look to me and say, "Brian, my, how you've grown!" I might be a bit upset if they did, because there's only one way in which I can grow, and it's grown too far already. But nobody comes up to me and says, "Brian, you know, you have grown so much in grace. You're a bigger person than you used to be. You're so much more like Jesus than you were a few years ago. You had an anointing before, but you've got a far greater anointing now." I'd like to hear that sometime. I've never heard it yet, but I do trust that I'm growing, you know? In a couple of months' time, I will celebrate my 59th birthday as a Christian. I was born again in Kenya 59 years ago, so I'll soon be celebrating my Jubilee. But, you know, and I hope over those years I've grown in grace, yeah? It'd be a bit of a sad thing if I hadn't, wouldn't it? The first church I joined in Africa, I think their life verse, you've got this lovely verse up here. I think the verse in this church was, "Grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." That was their kind of life verse. And I trust over the years I've grown. I'd be a pretty sad, sick Christian if I hadn't grown over those years, wouldn't I? I remember years ago, as a young man, I was out shopping with my mother, which must have been quite a rare event. Teenage boys don't go out with their mum shopping. But I was up Ilford High Road in East London, and I saw a baby in a pram. You know, they used to have prams in those days. We don't see them now, do we? These lovely prams. I know my first two kids, we had a real Rolls Royce of a job that my parents bought us, these lovely prams with big wheels. And I saw in this pram the ugliest baby I'd ever seen in all my life. And it took me back until my mother explained to me, it wasn't really a baby, but it was a man who was 26 years old, but physically had never grown. Terrible, sad thing, but a little bit of a monster really in the pram. And, you know, friends, spiritually, if we don't grow, we can grow into monsters, can't we? We don't want that to happen. I want to keep growing, do you? I might have been a Christian for 59 years, friends, but I tell you, and I hope I have grown over the years, but I want to keep on growing. Yes? I'm still a work in progress, are you? I guess that's why some of you are here this morning. Yes? Because we're still a work in progress, aren't we? Are we growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus? You know, am I more gracious this year to my wife and to my daughter and to my family than I was last year? Am I more gracious driving the car? Am I more gracious when I go in the shops, you know? I've got a pair of spectacles on this morning, Specsavers, you know. I don't know about Specsavers in Tring where I go, but they sort of... The design, the atmosphere of that place just to rub me up the wrong way, I think. I was in there the other day and I'd made an appointment for 10 to 9 in the morning and I get there promptly at 10 to 9. And then the lady says, oh, thank you, sir. Just sit down there. Your appointment is 9:05. I said, but you asked me to come in at 10 to 9. And they said, yes, but we always ask our customers to come in 15 minutes early. Well, you know, that's just the sort of thing, you know, to make me feel good about myself. But, you know, the grace of God is at work. And I smiled and I sat down and I got served quite quickly, actually. I didn't have to wait very long. But it's important, isn't it? You know, am I more forgiving than I used to be? You know, am I more loving? Do I give people more? Do I more often give people the time of day and give them eyeball to eyeball attention? That's all part of growing, isn't it? In grace. Am I more ready to overlook an offence? Am I really too happy to take offence? That's the place to get, isn't it? When we're too happy in the Lord ever to take offence. You know, Anna came home from school one day and it was dinner time and she proceeded to tell us all the different food on the table, whether it was acid or alkali. She'd obviously been having some chemistry or physics lessons about acid and alkalis. And I said to her, well, do they still use litmus paper in school these days? Do you remember those days? Well, some of you are too old to remember that far back. They used to have litmus paper, you know, and you dip it in. If it was acid, it would go red. If it was alkali, it would go blue. Do you know, I came to see, because I've been a pastor for 55 years, I've come to see that God puts his litmus papers in church, you know, to test the saints, to see what they're made of. It's not a career choice to be a litmus paper, but there are some people that do test your grace, don't they? You know, they really test to see what you're made of. And for many years, when I first knew Pastor Jim, I was a pastor in Barking for 15 years. And my wife and I at the time, we used to say, I think we got more than our fair share of litmus papers in our church. They really test us. But what are they? They do test what you're made of to see what kind of work of grace that's being done in your life, isn't it? You see, God, they are growth opportunities. Friends, isn't that an encouraging thought this morning, that all the challenges that you face in life, the problems, the difficulties you got to go out and face, maybe when you get home today or when you go to work tomorrow morning. And you know, I don't know what problems are. My, if I knew all the problems here in this building this morning, if I knew all your heartaches and all your problems this morning and you unloaded it on me, I'd probably have a mental breakdown right now, wouldn't I? Yeah? You know, but friends, you see, all those situations are all growth situations, aren't they? I used to have a book on my bookshelves. I lent it to somebody and never got it back, as is norm. And but it was called Church Fights, a Growth Opportunity. You see, even when we have conflict in church, when it's handled in the right way, it's a growth opportunity, isn't it? God wants us to grow. God allows these things to happen, doesn't he? You know, we all know Romans 8:28, don't we? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Isn't it easy to say that? But is it so easy to live it? Huh? When everything goes wrong. When the car breaks down and the garage wants £1,000 to put it right. You know, when you go to work on Friday morning and the manager gives you your P45 and says, thank you, don't come back on Monday. You know, it's very easy to say all things work together for good, isn't it? We know it in our heads. It's getting it into our hearts, isn't it? Eh? I mean, I've been in agony. I mean, you know, I've seen God heal me miraculously, and I could bore you with lots of stories of God's miraculous healing in my life. But I've had pain in my shoulder now for 3 weeks. I couldn't even drive here this morning. Vanessa had to drive me here. You know, and I tell you, I've been praying, and I've been getting everybody else to pray too, and I'm keep pressing in until I get there, and until it happens. But I tell you what, friends, it's a growth opportunity. Well, I'm preaching to myself, you understand? I'm preaching to myself this morning, yeah? I spent an hour and a half yesterday preaching to myself this sermon because I need to hear it. Every situation, every challenge is a growth opportunity. Yes? Isn't it? What is it? One of the first verses I ever learned in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 10:13. What does it say? There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. If it's come your way, brother, you've got that bad arm and that, you know, wrist and, you know, what I'm talking about this morning. You know, it's very hard to say all things work together for good, isn't it? All, that little word all is a big word, isn't it? All things work together. Somehow, if we give it to God, it can work, it can be, the minus can become a plus, can't it? Think God's got more faith in you than you got in him. That's the point. He won't suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. And let God be true and all men liars. If it's come your way, he wouldn't let it come your way if he didn't have faith in you that you could face it and come through the better for it. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to go from grace to grace. You're here this morning because you've experienced the wonderful grace of God, haven't you? You've been singing about the grace of God this morning. You're rejoicing in the grace of God. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your experience of God's wonderful grace. Well, we need to go further, don't we? We need to go from grace to grace. You know, that American poet Longfellow, in his old age, he was still producing wonderful poetry. And one day, somebody said to him, how is it you can be so vigorous, so alive, and still produce such wonderful poetry as you do in your old age like that? And he said, well, he said, you see that apple tree there? And he said, you know, that apple tree is very, very old. And yet, I don't think I've ever seen it look more beautiful than it does this year, full of blossom. You know, and he says, what happens with that tree is that every year it produces a little bit of new wood and the blossom comes from the new wood. And he says, what I try and do is produce a bit of new growth every year. Yeah? We got to go from grace to grace, haven't we? Romans 1:17 says, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Not only have we got to go from grace to higher levels of grace, we've got to go from one level of faith to higher levels. Yeah? We've got to grow in our faith, haven't we? That's one of the reasons we come together, to celebrate and worship together, but we also come so that we can learn together and encourage one another to go to new levels. I want to go higher, do you, with God? Five words in the book of Romans that changed Martin Luther's life and the history of Europe. The just shall live by faith. Friends, this is why we're here. This is a building about faith. And we've got to go from one level of faith to new levels of faith. Haven't we? And I've always said that, to me, a definition I've given on faith is that faith is committing yourself to what you know is the will of God. You can't commit yourself to what you don't know. You can pray and hope and desire and express your desires to God. But unless you know that you know, you can't commit yourself. But if you know this is God's word, if you know this is what God wants, you can commit yourself to it, can't you? Yeah? I heard another good definition a few weeks ago, and it goes like this. Faith is the divine ability given to man to go beyond the natural realm. Now, we're all pretty good at living in the natural realm. We use our eyes, our ears, our senses, our five senses, don't we, to get on. We're sitting here in chairs in a natural, ordinary building, and, you know, this is all natural, isn't it? We know how to live in the natural world. But friends, there's a superior world to the natural world, isn't there? There is the supernatural realm, the realm of eternity, the realm of the eternal one who's actually taken up residence in your lives anyway. Yes. Hallelujah. And you see, faith is God's gift to us to interact with the supernatural realm, isn't it? To move into the realm of the eternal one. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God, is it? And God wants us, and it has made us, really, to move not only in the natural realm, but to move in the supernatural realm. You see, he inhabits eternity, and faith allows us to cross the limits into the eternal realm, isn't it? Into the timeless realm, yes? Now, in the spiritual realm, everything's finished, isn't it? We just celebrated communion together. And Jesus cried on the cross, it's finished. You know, we have forgiveness, we have healing, we have deliverance. It was all accomplished on the cross, wasn't it? You know, all the material, emotional and spiritual needs that we might have on this earth were all done for us in Jesus Christ. He ascended in heaven and sat down because he'd finished his work, hadn't he? Yes? So we need faith to call on that, don't we? That's why I'm saying, God, increase my faith, because I know he can heal. I've seen him heal my body before, but I've got to go to a new level somehow, because I want to see my shoulder without pain. Yeah, I want to be able to drive the car without pain. Yeah, I want to work on the computer without pain. I want to be able to sleep at night without having a painkiller. Yes? So God, I want my faith to grow, because it's all finished in the cross, isn't it? It's there in Jesus for me to take hold, and for you. Yes? I'm preaching to you as well, right? This morning, as well as myself. Yes? We can access these things by faith. And we can, you know, we can transcend time. You see, when we move out of the natural into the supernatural, into the eternal, we bypass time, don't we? I mean, I got a car, it's getting a bit old now, a Saab outside. I had a Saab before that. We had it 10 years, trouble-free motoring. Great cars, Saabs. Don't make them anymore. The garage told me one day, sorry, Brian, your car's finished. Time you bought a new one. Well, I know I needed a new one. But, you know, we didn't have any money for a new car. But he said, look, it's kaput, man. It's time you got yourself a new car. So, okay, that was on Friday. So we said, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Because we can't live without a car. We live in a village. We can't minister. Can't do anything. You know, it's our daily bread in the world in which we live. We need a car. Yeah? So that's fair enough prayer, isn't it? So Friday, we go along, find another nice Saab, the one that's out there now. That was four or five years ago. And we'll have that one. We haven't got any money. So we got out our credit card and we put down a deposit. You know, we didn't take it away, just the deposit, you understand. And then on Monday morning, we go to the bank and we say, can we borrow £10,000? And I try to explain to him that we live by faith, because we've lived by faith the last 15 years and seen God supernaturally meet our needs in incredible ways. You know, God, you know, I don't believe in living on the bread line, and God doesn't see to it. You know, he provides incredibly. But so I tried to explain that to the bank manager. He said, well, look, you know, we'll make it over 4 years, and this is the amount of interest you've got to pay for 10,000 over 4 years. And, well, that's a lot of money. You know, over 4 years. I said, well, look, we live by faith, and maybe we won't need 4 years to pay it off. So he said, well, come back in 3 days. I'll have all the paperwork ready. Yeah. We went back in 3 days and said, well, thank you very much, but we don't need 10 now. We only need 7. And then they give you 2 weeks grace, you know. So, you know, when you sign a contract, you know, with the banks these days, you can withdraw if you go back in under 2 weeks. So we go back a week later and say, thank you very much. You can have your 7,000 back. We've had £10,000 given to us in the last 2 weeks. Yeah? Yeah? See? What was going to be 4 years, because we exercised our faith, we moved out of time into eternity, didn't we? And 4 years was reduced to 2 weeks. Yes? Through the goodness of God's people, you know, 50 quid here, 100 pound there, 500 there. Amazing. It was a miracle, yeah? A miracle of God's provision. But that's what we do. That's what faith is about, isn't it? Friends, you know, if our Christianity does not move us out of the natural into the supernatural, then we're just like any other religion, aren't we? With a bit of godliness tacked on. Friends, it's more than that, isn't it? We've got to go from faith to faith. How are we going on time? I think the broadcast comes to an end now, does it? About now? Oh, half past. Oh, back to time. Everybody sitting comfortably. Yeah. But you see, we have to become experts really at jumping off cliffs, don't we? You know, we're trusting that God's going to catch us. Yes. I better not say too much, but, you know. I remember my early when I was first. I was converted in Kenya and came home. I'd only been about a year or so old as a Christian. And my first church in Ilford, Elim Church in Ilford. And there were a great crowd of people there. It was quite a big church, 250 people in those days. 50 odd years ago, it was, that was quite a reasonable church in London. There were a lot of members of that church being converted in the days of George Jeffreys. I don't know if any of you have heard of George Stephen Jeffreys. There were people who were born in revival, seeing incredible miracles. Many of them had been baptized by George or Stephen Jeffreys in the Royal Albert Hall. You know, I'm going back 50, 60 years, you understand. So these people, you know, this is going back like 100 years when they were converted now. And, you know, there's all these wonderful people in the church, but a lot of them over the years got used to just sitting in the seat. They'd be there on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I used to get sorry for the pastor sometimes, because somehow, you know, when he asked them to do something, they never wanted to do anything. And there was I, as a young man, I just joined the church, and I thought, I felt sorry for the pastor, because he couldn't get people to do much. So I made up my mind in my heart, I thought, well, if the pastor ever asks me to do anything, I'll say, yes, pastor, I'll count it a privilege. It'd be a delight to do it. Eh? No sooner as I said that, and the pastor started jumping on me. Brian, come up and give your testimony. Brian, come and read the scripture for us. Well, I hated reading out loud, and certainly not before, and avoided it like the plague at school and anything like that. You know, and so I think, oh God, I hope he doesn't jump on me today, and I wonder what scripture he's going to use. Let's see if I can have a look at it first. You know, one day he says, you know, would you like to be a Sunday school teacher? Well, of course, Pastor. It'd be a privilege to become a Sunday school teacher. They gave me the worst class in the Sunday school. A load of boys from maladjusted boys from a children's home, you know? But, you know, then they say one day, Brian, we'd like you to speak in the open air today, because we'd have open airs, you know, in the Ilford Broadway every other week. And I remember getting up to speak, and I was so petrified that my brain went completely blank. I had nothing to say, and they had to sing another chorus. But you know, he was calling me to jump off cliffs, wasn't he? My pastor was going, God was calling me to jump off cliffs, you know? I remember just a few years ago, I was on staff at Kensington Temple. I don't know if you know the church. At the time, it was the biggest church in London. And Pastor Colin was preaching in a congregation in Brazil. There was about 6,000 in the congregation. And he just preached a great sermon. And then he turned to me, he says, God, prophesy over the congregation now. You know, 6,000 people there. I just had to start prophesying, you know. Yeah, he pushed me off the cliff. Friends, you know, maybe Pastor will push you off the cliff a few times. But this is where faith grows, isn't it? We got to go from faith to faith, from grace to grace, yes? And we've got to go from strength to strength. Amen? See, the challenges you face in life, they can become stumbling stones or stepping stones, can't they? Yeah? Now, this is easy for me to stand up here and say, because I don't know what you've got to face, you know? Whether the debt recovery agent's after you or whatever. But friends, God can turn every minus into a plus. Yes? Stumbling stones can become stepping stones. I think of that girl, that Pakistani girl, Malala Yousafzai, I don't know, I can't pronounce it. You know, but she was shot in the face, wasn't she, for wanting to go to school. And look what a negative that was. But look what it plus it's turned out to be for her, her family, for the world. Hasn't it? Just got a Nobel Prize. An unknown girl in Pakistan gets shot in the face for going to school. And that minus turns it, and she's not even a Christian. Friends, you know, God specializes in turning stumbling stones into stepping stones. And you've got to have faith for that. You see, that's why I say, Lord, increase my faith. I want to go from faith to faith. I want to keep growing, do you? And I want to go from strength to strength too. You wouldn't be here this morning if God hadn't given you the strength to be here, would he? And over the years, I'm sure there's most of you have said this. I don't know how people who are not Christians survive. You know, they go through tragedy, they lose their husbands, wives, or terrible things happen, and you think to yourself, and sometimes it happens to you, doesn't it? And you say, I don't know how people who are not Christians, how they survive without the help of God, without God's strength, without God's grace. Have you ever said that? I'm sure most of you have. Yeah? And we need more strength, don't we? I want to go from strength to strength. Yes? I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians said, strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. The Apostle Paul one day, in the book of Acts, is facing great opposition. And you read these words, Paul increased all the more in strength. He faced opposition, but he increased ever more in strength. Yes? face a bit of opposition in your life? Huh? God wants to increase your strength. If he's let it happen, he wants your strength to go from one level to another. Amen? Yeah? When Joshua had to take over the leading of Israel, when Moses ascended into, you know, God was the funeral director and the undertaker and everything else for Moses. God buried Moses, and then Joshua was left with that terrible responsibility. And what does God say to Joshua over and over again? Be strong and of a good courage. Yes. Friends, when you face big responsibilities, when the challenges come, we need strength. And it's not our strength. It's the strength of the Lord, isn't it? What did the Apostle Paul, you know, he had this terrible thorn in the flesh. We're not told whether it was a pain in his neck like mine or what it was. We don't know what his thorn was. He sought the Lord three times and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he goes on to say, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Hallelujah. Friends, it's not our strength, but as we acknowledge our weakness, so he can be our strength, can't he? Yeah? Doesn't it take a long time to realize that you haven't got it? That it's got to be God. Yeah? We were having lunch with a lady the other day. We hadn't seen her for about 4 years. And in that 4 years, she'd gone through hell. She'd gone through terrible experiences. Her husband had left her, had gone back to South Africa. All sorts of terrible stuff had happened to her. She said, but you know what? She said, you know, I used to think of myself as a strong woman. You know, a person who could face life on the chin and deal with situations. I always thought I was a strong personality. But I tell you what, she said, these last 4 years, I've had to come to the end of myself and realize that the only strength I've got is what God gives me. Isn't it? Doesn't it? You know, I'm still learning. I've been a Christian 62 years, I don't know how long it is, it's a long time anyway. Before some of you were twinkling your mother's eye. And friends, I'm still learning how to come to the end of myself and let God be my strength. Yes? To go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. And what does it say? Lastly, for we are all being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Yes. The glory. You know, hey, I want to see the glory manifest in our midst. Do you? We come here every Sunday when we gather together. Well, any old time whenever we gather together, we want to see the manifest presence of God, don't we? We want the glory, don't we? But what is the glory? You know, we talk about the glory of God. We sing about the glory of God. What is the glory? Well, it's God himself, isn't it? It's the essence of his nature. It's the weight of his importance. It's the radiance of his splendor. It's the demonstration of his power. It's the atmosphere of his presence. And then later on, Solomon's temple, the manifest presence of God came down and God manifested himself in the temple. And then Jesus came upon the earth and he manifested his glory. Yeah? Hallelujah. But then he ascended into heaven. Huh? And left us a job. To manifest his glory. What does Isaiah say? They are my own people I created them to bring me glory. That's why you were created. You wonder why you're here? You wonder why you exist on this planet? You're here to bring him glory. Glory carriers. Carrying the presence of God. You brought the presence in this morning. You take it out with you, don't you? When you get up tomorrow morning and go to work, and when you get on the bus or on the train and you walk down the street and you go in the shop, glory carriers. Yes? We are commanded to honour his glory, declare his glory, praise his glory, reflect his glory, live for his glory. And Habakkuk says, the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Friends, that's happening around the world. Thousands are turning to Christ, aren't they? We hear about all the terrible things that's coming out of Islam. But friends, there are more Muslims being converted today than ever in the history of Islam. Friends, you know, the glory of God is being manifest, isn't it? Throughout the earth. And we too want to go. We are. We have his glory. We're carriers of it. But I want to go from glory to glory. I want to go from grace to grace. From faith, higher levels of faith. From strength, greater strength. Let's pray together, shall we, right now. And say, Lord, we want to grow in grace and in knowledge of yourself. We want to grow in you, Lord. We don't want to stand still, whether we're young or old. We are on this earth because you're not finished with us yet. We're all still a work in progress, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us. And Lord, we just tell you this morning, we want to grow. Do you want to grow this morning? Come on, let's stand to our feet a moment, shall we? And let's just tell him we want to grow, shall we? Do you want to grow? Well, you can't change yourself, you know that, don't you? Jesus said, who for all his struggling and striving can one add 1 inch to his stature? Eh? You know, I see Christians sometimes, you know, they grit their teeth and they clench their fists. And it's like, I'm going to be a better Christian if it kills me. And that's just what it does. It kills them. Because you can't do it. Because you're a dead loss. You understand that? I mean, you're a nice crowd here this morning. I mean, you're lovely people. But quite honestly, I've got no faith in you. I haven't got any faith that one of you's got what it takes to make it. I haven't. But I tell you what, I've got every faith in him who's taken up residence in your life. Amen. That while you can't, Christ in you can. Christ in you, the hope of glory, isn't it? The hope of glory. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Yeah? So, we're saying, Lord, we want to grow. It's got to be his work, isn't it? Paul, some sowed, others watered. But it's God who gives the increase, isn't it? I'm sowing a few seeds here this morning, but it's only God can give the increase. Only God can change you this morning, yes? So as we stand to our feet, let's just say, Lord, you do the work in me that I can't work in myself. Lord, come on, let's just lift our hands to heaven if you're able to this morning and say, Lord, here we are. Lord, you know us all together. We're graven on the palms of your hands. There's nothing about us you don't know or understand. And Lord, we ask that you make the changes in us that we cannot make in ourselves. May we go to new levels of grace, new levels of faith. Here in this church, Lord, take us to new levels of faith where we see the supernatural happening on a regular basis in our midst. Because we're interfacing with the Eternal One by faith. Lord, We want to go from strength to strength. We want to go from glory to glory. Take us on a journey, Lord. Take us on a journey. Take us on a journey. I'm going to get Vanessa to sing a little song. It goes, from glory to glory, he's changing me. And as we sing it, as Vanessa sings it, just join in. But believe it for yourself. Believe it that God is changing you from glory to glory. How wonderful it is to be free. That's why Jesus died, isn't it? To make us free. He didn't die to control us. God doesn't control us. He gives us freedom of choice. That's why he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right in the middle of the garden, so that Adam and Eve had a choice. He sets us free to make choices in life, and we can make the right choices or the wrong choices, but God doesn't insist, you know. He loves us too much. He wants to give us choice. He wants to make us free to make the right choices. Hallelujah. In my life. If that's you, just step out the aisle and come down the front here, and we'll just pray together about that as we're singing. Amen. This is an act of faith. Yeah, come forward. Make room. Just come down here. That's right. Make room for people as they're coming. That's right. Hallelujah.